Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now, here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and this is OnlyFans Q&A Live for May the 23rd, 2024. Today is the last day before they have two more OTAs and then a long hiatus until training camp. We learned this week that they will have joint practices with all three teams that they will face in the preseason. And that is Atlanta here, Washington over there, and Tampa Bay over there. Now, here's the thing. The CBA says you can only have four joint practices in total. So two of those joint practices will feature just one joint practice each. I don't know which one it is. If you're going to guess, last year, no idea, but they had the first and the last both had two practices. They did not have a third. I think they're trying to accommodate as many people as possible. You're trying to network with as many teams as possible so they can reciprocate down the line. I don't know who is going to get the two practices because I know it's four. So if it's four, then somebody's getting two practices. If I ventured to guess, they had a very, very cordial relationship and long practices with Tampa Bay 2 years ago. So I would say in Tampa Bay, that makes the most sense. You know? Very, very accommodating, by the way, for the media and the teams in Tampa Bay. Big practice facility, really, really nice practice facility. Otherwise, probably Atlanta, you know. Although, you got to understand, Tampa Bay, the practice facility in Tampa Bay, you have the indoor field, right? You have two outdoor fields, right? And then you have like a campus area. So you have like a stretching area plus two fields, plus an indoor field. At Miami Gardens, you essentially just have two practice fields and the indoor field. You don't have no staging area or stretching area. Okay? So, you know, two teams can get crowded. And if it's raining, then essentially you just got to join the practices a little bit earlier. So I would guess that the two practices are probably going to be in Tampa Bay. But don't quote me on that. They had OTAs this week. They're awarding orange jerseys, and the three winners are David Long, then Kader Kohou, and today Austin Jackson. The coaches, that's a new wrinkle to the orange jersey this year. The coaches are now wearing orange gear for if their unit had the guy that wore the orange jersey. That's pretty much it on the OTAs. People are going to ask, you know, whoa, what happened? Do you have a play-by-play? I saw a Jets reporter had Aaron Rodgers going 11 for 14 passing. That is the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard in my life. OTAs, everybody's going 50%. Everybody's in underwear. Like, come on. If I was, you know, in my earlier days, you put me out there at quarterback, I'd go 11 for 14 too. I guess an NFL defense, yeah. I probably would. All I got to do is just take checkdowns. Probably what what the Jets were doing too. I also saw somebody post, I think it was that MO Football account, which just got awful, posted 40-yard laser without looking down the seam. You could see the hash marks. It was an 8-yard completion. 8 yards is not 40 yards. Okay? So, there's that. A lot of silliness in OTAs. You essentially just want to get a feel for the team. Not the entire team did not was not together on Tuesday. It was or on Wednesday, I believe. Yeah, Wednesday was the day that had the long list of absences. Of course, everybody's gonna freak out. A lot of silly stuff this time of year. Talk of Tua's contract. Forget the national media. They have their own agenda, and it gets weirder by the day. Now they're really, really interested in becoming capologists for the Miami Dolphins. I've said this before, and I'll say it one more time. I talked about this on the podcast last week. It's about the structure. If you look at Jalen Hurts' deal, first of all, it's a giant deal, right? A lot of dollars, a lot of guaranteed money. Tua's going to get all of that. You get all of that. It's just the way they structured the deal. Turning a lot of roster bonuses into cash and lowering that percentage of the cap every single year. Jalen Hurts, I believe this year, is going to be about 14% of the cap. That's extremely manageable. If you could keep his Tua's number around 15% of the cap every single year, that's fine. Like, you could manage a team with that. You could spend money in free agency with that. You could build a team around your quarterback with that, you know. But the bill always comes due if you want it to come due, because you could always keep kicking it down the road by extending it 2 more years and 2 more years and 2 more years. And then you're just hoping that you could just absorb everything into 1 or 2 seasons. And that's what everybody else seems to want to do, you know. So, and there's going to be mechanisms in the CBA going forward, trust me, that's going to deal with this, because this is going to be a league-wide problem. The NFL does not want, or I should say the NFLPA does not want the dollars to dry up for all their players, because their quarterbacks are all taking 20% of the cap across the league. And if you look at it, there's a distinct possibility, and you could count them. Like, you go to Spotrac and just look at the guys who can reasonably be still around making 20% of the cap 5 years from now. And that number is staggeringly high. It's around 11 or 12 guys. And then you would have a new slate of rookies, if they're any good, that's going to add another 6. So you're talking about 20 teams are going to have about 20% of the cap devoted to their quarterback. That's an issue for the NFLPA. And that's something that will be remedied. There is no doubt about that. Let me see if there's anything else. I'm reading some really weird headlines on Twitter's. Like, who writes these headlines, by the way? Barstool Sports has this headline that says microplastics were found in 100% of male testicles in recent study. First of all, they were found in 100% of male testicles. Okay, so they tested a bunch of male testicles. Which male testicles? And how did they know that there was 100% of them with microplastics? And does that mean that all of us have microplastics? If 100% of those guys with microplastics in their balls is true, and this is the test sample, does that mean that we all have microplastics in our balls? I guess so. It must be the off season, because there's a lot of weird shit going on. Panthers up 1-0 on the Rangers. Played absolutely spectacular last night. Could play better. And if they do play better, this will be a short series. I do expect this thing to go a little longer. At least 6 games. All right. But I do like the Panthers to win this. And I like them to win the cup, by the way. I actually bet them to win the cup. So I like them to win the cup. I also bet Minnesota, and they started off 0-1. But I have confidence in them pulling this series out against Dallas. Do I have them winning against Boston? Probably not. But they're worth a bet, because I think they're plus 275. That's free money. All right, let me get to some of these questions in the chat. If any of you want to come up and talk to me live, you can. All you got to do is raise your hand and get in the queue, and I'll bring you up. You got to identify yourself as I bring you up. By the way, if you want to participate in any of these Q&A lives on OnlyFans, you got to become a member of OnlyFans. And to become a member of OnlyFans, you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. All right, let's get to some of these questions in the chat. We do this every single week. We do it on Wednesday, but today, this week, we decided to do it on a Thursday so that way we could get all the OTAs in. Although, let's be fair, nothing is happening. Like, nothing that we see, you know, is of any consequence. Nothing that the media sees is of any consequence. I was not at OTAs this week. I will be at all of training camp and the joint practices this summer, as I am every single year. And I will be providing daily camp reports on OnlyFans. That's another benefit of paying your $3 a month. You get daily camp reports every single year. All right, let's get into these questions in the chat. Here's the first one. What's the chat about the various rookie performances at OTAs? That's a part of a two-part question. All right, the first part. Mo Kamara looks really, really good, really, really strong. It doesn't help that Chop Robinson was essentially on the side working with coaches and rehabbing for a day. He did get work in the second day. So Chop Robinson wasn't completely inactive for all of OTAs. He was inactive for one day, which he was rehabbing. Mo Kamara has turned some heads. Really, really strong guy. You could see it in some of the sled videos. And I understand, oh my God, he's hitting a sled. You know, like who cares? No, trust me. They care. That shows you how heavy-handed, how strong you are, how good your technique is. How good your bend and how good your leverage is. He's extremely strong. He's going to be really, really good against the run. I think, how I feel about him. I think he's a really, really good draft pick. I think he replaced Andrew Van Ginkle. Like, you remember all those plays that Andrew Van Ginkle used to make for us? I think Mo Kamara's going to be making those plays for us this time around. I also would say this. If Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are both not ready, I wouldn't hold out that Mo Kamara is a starter. That's a possibility. He could be a starter on this team. He could be playing 30, 40 snaps a game on this team and sharing snaps with Chop Robinson as Shaq Barrett mans the other side. Like, that's a distinct possibility. All right, second part of that question. I watched video of Tua, Hill, and Waddle. That was pretty cool, by the way. That was on YouTube, and you could check it out on Tyreek Hill's YouTube channel. Working out on some pass routes today. Tua was actively leading the session. Have you seen that before? I haven't. All the time. Tua runs a lot of those throwing sessions, including in training camp, pre-practice, when they get out there. And it's always Raheem Mostert that gets out there with Tua to warm up really, really early. Tua has Raheem going through stuff, and he's usually out there with just one coach, usually Frank Smith. You know, so Tua is very, very active with all that stuff. Next question. I heard that Patrick Paul was impressing with his smarts and work rate at OTAs. What did you hear about him? Too soon to make any judgments? I presume, yes, it's way too soon to make any judgments. But, he has impressed. Not because of his play or anything, but he's very self-aware, taking to the technique, very, very, very smart. He's been everything you wanted as you drafted him. You know, you just want to see him perform. So that's the hard part. The easy part is being a good professional and a good athlete. He has that down. He has to implement what he learns now. Okay. And we're not going to know anything until things are live in the preseason games and in training camp. All right, next question. Did you get a look at Patrick Paul? Another Patrick Paul question. Is he as impressive a physical specimen as they say he is? He's absolutely an insane physical specimen. I know it's a couple of days old, but do you have any thoughts or opinions on Holland bad-mouthing Fangio, legit or unprofessional? It's a little bit about a little bit of everything. I don't think he meant to bad-mouth him. It's just the way he phrased everything. That kind of made Fangio sound like an asshole. And maybe, who knows, maybe he's right. I wouldn't have said anything, you know. But it's, look, Omar Kelly has done a lot of reporting on this. And we talked about this on OnlyFans last year. This defense was not all hunky-dory last year, even when they were winning. and they were ranked very, very high. They didn't like the scheme. They didn't like Vic Fangio. They didn't like his coaching style. And you heard me last year on 3 yards per carry all year. And I like to be consistent. And I like to have the same criticism when a team is winning than when the team is losing. And when they were ranked fourth in total defense, I said, whoever's running the personnel side on this defense is incompetent. You're running these guys right into the ground. You cannot play Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer that many snaps, period. Of course, what happened toward the end of the year? Ronaldo Hill got demoted from running personnel, and they gave it to Anthony Campanelli. And of course, those snap counts changed. So, it is what it is. All right, another question. Contracts. What has changed since last week? Are any renewals closer or further away? Nothing new, you know, not that I know of. I know they want to get something done with Tua, and that's going to happen. So we shall see about that. There's many more questions. I want to get to all of them, but we have somebody in the queue. I want to bring you up. As I bring you up, identify yourself so that way our audience knows who you are. All right, you're up.
Hi, it's Dundee Dolphin. I put this in the chat, but I maybe had a couple of follow-ups to this. But one of the things that really excited me of the stories I heard out of OTAs this week was that we seem to be getting a kind of binary dual role usage more for Devon Achan. What is if that's true? Did you hear that confirmed? And if that's true, can you maybe just talk a little bit strategically and also perhaps from a roster building point of view? Because, you know, we are pretty stacked at running back, pretty stacked at wide receiver, kind of quite stacked in terms of numbers of equal players at tight end. What have you heard that that's true, and what does that mean for us if we can use him more fluidly?
It's a great question. I talked about this last year in training camp. They had a wide-ranging pass-catching package for Devon Achane last year in training camp. They didn't get to all of it in the regular season. You got to see some of it. You got to see some of it against the Commanders. You got to see some of it against the Titans. You saw more of it against the Ravens. You saw even more of it against the Bills. They slowly trotted it out last year. He allows you to play a lot of different personnel groupings, okay? You could play three running backs because he could play out wide. Okay, he could play the X, he could play outside, he could play in the slot, he could essentially do anything on offense. Okay, and he's a reasonable, and I say reasonable, he's a reasonable stand-in for Tyreek Hill outside when Tyreek Hill needs a breather, because he's going to provide you pretty much the same kind of speed or straight line speed. That's gonna force us a defense to devote a safety over the top, and actually declare the coverage a lot sooner. So, yeah, he's a massive part of this team. He is important, very, very important, and that's why I think Jalen Wright is gonna be so important. Because I think he's gonna take a lot of those carries that are completely unnecessary for Devon Achane. A lot of those blowouts in the fourth quarter, all those dead carries that Achane got last year. In fact, he got one in what was essentially a blowout against the Giants that actually injured him. That's not going to happen this year. They got more bodies now to go out there. I think that the Dolphins, because of the makeup of the team, could be the rare team that's going to go into game days with five active running backs, which is weird, right? But I think they're one of those teams that would do something like that. Of course, one of them will have to play special teams for sure, and I think two of them will, actually. And who knows, maybe three of them with Achane returning kicks.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And punts. So who knows? But yeah, many, many, many different things that you could get to with Devon Achane outside. Any other questions?
I'm just going to say, how much does that ease the pressure from the roster point of view? I mean, if you've got a player that can sort of tick a box in multiple areas of the depth chart.
It's immeasurable, really. You no longer need to devote roster spots to people like Robbie Chosen or, I don't know, maybe even Chase Claypool. Like, you don't need to devote roster spots to guys that are just going to be specialists in trying to hold safeties and trying to run buddy routes all game. Because now you have multiple guys that can do that. So, yeah, I think it helps the offense immeasurably, and it helps in roster construction, man. It really does, you know. So, like I said, they could be a team that's going to have five active – I believe they will be – a team that's going to have five active running backs on game day. Yeah, Mostert, Achane, of course, Alec Ingold counts. That's three. Jeff Wilson and Jalen Wright. And I think Savon Ahmed might make the roster, but he'll be the one that's inactive. He'll be in and out depending on Wilson or Ahmed, depending on the matchup. So I think that they're a team that's going to have five active running backs on game day, which is unprecedented, really. And who knows? Maybe that means that they can keep less wide receivers active on game day, which gives them more numbers for special teams, which is something that I know that they wanted to get to last year. You know, are they? Most teams can only have two special teams specialists. Maybe they're going to be a team that's going to have four, because you could sacrifice spots at tight end and at wide receiver because you're carrying running backs that do multiple purposes. So that's interesting to watch. Well, we will learn about that, oddly enough, week one against the Jaguars. We won't learn anything in preseason. Yeah, because in preseason, remember, they allow wide, you know, full rosters of 80. So
yeah,
all right. You have anything else?
If it's not rude, a lot of chat this week about Eric Ezukama and whether or not he's part of the future, mm-hmm. and this sort of seems to divide opinion quite strongly and emotively. What's your thoughts on his future, and what can you tell us that we don't see about how he's viewed within the organization?
Well, first of all, he's a really good player, and you could see it evident in practice. He's a good kid. He's been pretty unlucky, okay? Year one, it was obvious he was redshirted. The coaches, namely Wes Walker, were not happy with his development, and they slowed down his development for that season. Year two, he was just unlucky. You could see he was going to be a big part of the offense in week one and week two. Gets injured, never to be heard from again. You know, I do know he was healthy toward the end of the season, but it was too late by then. You know, the Dolphins had exhausted all their IR returns, so they couldn't bring him back. He has another chance. Like, obviously, you invested a fourth-round pick in him, and what you've seen from him in preseason games and in practice has been plenty good. He's shown he could be a guy that's going to contribute to an offense. He can play 20 snaps a game and play them effectively. He could do a lot of things in the offense. And he competes and wins. But, man, he's been unlucky. He's just going to have to stop being unlucky. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. All right, let me get to some more of your questions. What do you think are the top three changes McDaniel will make to his offensive game plan this season if he makes that many? That's a good question. The top three changes that he's going to make. Maybe institute more leads in the run game, because he has a running back that's really, really good at hitting that one gapper in Jalen Wright. Maybe. And that's going to help on third and one. You know, so that's a possibility. Now, do you have a guy that's just going to be a people mover inside? You don't. But you have quick enough guys that you could hit a lot of combo blocks and a lot of lead blocks inside. Okay? Leads are about doubling a three tech, and that's something you can do. Or doubling a one tech, and you can definitely do that. So that's one change. Second change, obviously Odell Beckham. So you're going to have a lot more 11 personnel. So that's pretty obvious. Third change is Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith being in town doesn't mean that Durham Smythe has gone away, which means that now you could get to more 12 personnel stuff. This is going to be the first year you're truly going to see a diverse offense. Before, what you really saw was an offense that was predominantly in 21 personnel. And they were trying to use variations of thereof, okay? This team could get to 21 personnel, 11 personnel, all kinds of personnel groupings, 12 personnel, and still have plenty of speed to spare everywhere, because the guys that you're adding on to those personnel groupings to diversify your offense all have speed. All right, the next question. What's the single best concession item available at Hard Rock Stadium? That's a great question. I would say it's the foot-long sausage with the sour. But I'm a big brat. They have two. They have a foot-long regular smoked sausage, and they have a foot-long brat, okay? I'm huge on brats. They do toast the bread, which is a nice touch, because they don't toast the bread, man. That thing, it just doesn't feel right. And it's a foot-long bratwurst with sauerkraut. I love sauerkraut with mustard. Fucking awesome. That's the best concession item at Hard Rock. I haven't had too many more, but that's a really, really good one. In the media room, their burgers are surprisingly really, really good. In the media room. Whenever they have pizza, it's also really, really good. It's Papa John's. But it's pretty good. It's really nice and hot. What else is good in the media room? I'm trying to think. Their Caesar salad is really good. They have a carving station that's really good with nice ham on there. You know, that's pretty good. Oddly enough, man, I thought that this was weak this past year. I went for the you know, when they have the scrimmage at the stadium. That thing was early as hell. It was like 9:30, and I was like, stadium's going to have like a full breakfast spread. They didn't. I got there, all they had was coffee and a couple pastries. I hate pastries. I don't like too much sweet stuff. I don't like sweet stuff in the morning. And I was like, man, these guys are really not going to give us anything. But sure enough, around lunchtime, here came out all the food. So, but no breakfast spread. I would have liked to have seen the breakfast spread there, because I have seen the breakfast spread at the Dolphins training facility, and it is absolutely top notch. I do envy Travis Wingfield in that regard. You know, he gets fed very, very well. I will say that. Yeah, the food at the training facility, top notch. It's really, really, really good. Absolutely good. Only drawback at the Dolphins training facility compared to others, I really have only seen a couple of other training facilities, but I will say this. Tampa Bay's training facility, their coffee maker, Jesus Christ, is that thing good. Like, they give you some real gourmet shit there. Okay? At Miami Gardens, you know, at the Baptist Health training facility for the Miami Dolphins, you're going to have to settle for K-Cups. Dunkin' K-Cups and Starbucks K-Cups, you know? Not that I'm complaining, you know? Those are fine by me. But it's not that gourmet stuff that they give you at Tampa Bay, you know? By the way, the Tampa Bay media room, 5 times as big as the Dolphins media room. But the people at both places are really, really good. I love everything about both places. I love everything about Dolphins training facility. It's not supposed to be comfortable. It's supposed to be nice and clean and convenient. And that it is. Great training facility. All right, next question. Anybody else not able to shake the feeling that Tua could be this year's Christian Wilkins? Absolutely not. Christian Wilkins, a defensive tackle, being overpaid. Tua's a quarterback. That deal was totally getting done all last summer. Well, it was getting done until it was rejected. Christian Wilkins actually was rejecting every single deal. Tua really doesn't have that luxury. Dolphins have total control of his rights. Okay, this thing could get ugly forever. Nobody wants it to get ugly. Everybody wants a deal done. It's going to get done. Yeah, this is different. Tua wants to be here. Next question. You remember my style from Finn Heaven? This is Dr. Astro Zoom, a great member of our of OnlyFans. All about the fluffy features. Yep. Next question. Tyson Fury says that he won. How close did you have it? I had it a draw. People got to understand. Yeah. Alexander Usyk came on very, very, very strong. Tyson Fury won a bunch of those early rounds. He won the vast majority of the first six rounds. He was banking a lot of rounds early. So, you know, as I scored it, it was a draw. When it got to the last round, I looked at it and I was like, well, Usyk wins this last round. It's a draw. And I thought Usyk pressed the pace. He was the one finishing up strong in the fight. So he won the last round. He had a draw, you know. And I did credit the 10-8. Remember, that 10-8 round for Alexander Usyk is essentially what won him the fight. That was the difference in the fight. In my scorecard, it was the difference between losing and getting a draw. Now, am I upset by it? No. Any result would have been fine. Had Tyson Fury won by a round, that would have been fine. Alexander Usyk winning by a round, that would have been fine. A draw, that would have been fine. It was that close. You know how they say that judging boxing is extremely subjective? It's absolutely the truth. You sit there and you watch a fight, and two people could be looking at the same thing, and they'll see different things. So I was fine with the decision. Yeah, any decision, any of the three decisions would have been fine. It's just the scorecards. Like, if the scorecards are way too wide, then come on, man. You weren't watching the same fight I was watching. All right, next question. Chael Sonnen, MMA hour now, thinks it's a great idea to box Anderson Silva. Do competition-aholics ever turn something down? They don't. And Chael Sonnen's going to get his ass kicked by Anderson Silva as a boxer, because Anderson Silva has done a little boxing since he retired from MMA, and he's absolutely skilled as a boxer. I've never seen Chael Sonnen box. Okay. More likely by 2026, Antonio Brown in jail or... Not, come on, man. You can't put something like that in the chat. I think he'll be a multimedia star by 2026. Let me see. Initial impressions on Anthony Weaver after OTAs. Whoa, nobody's seen the installs because they do the installs inside. You know, and then you just see them doing very, very vanilla coverages outside. You know, we will know a ton when training camp rolls around and you actually see 11 on 11s, because that's what they do every single practice. You're going to get to see all the coverages, all the fronts. You can't hide them then because you got to do install. And then you watch the install period where it's essentially just the linebackers and the secondary with no defensive line. And they're orchestrating things against essentially air. And that's telling you the defenses that they're running. And if you know what you're looking at, you could essentially draw up the entire playbook by just doing that. So I can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun in training camp. You can't know anything for now. Next question. The three YPC hosts were locked in a cage in a fight to the death. Who would emerge? Well, we all have our own ideas, but I think we would just... grab some microphones, do a show, and try to sell it for money. Next question. Is there a better TV sports show than Inside the NBA? No, is the question. There, you know, if you tune into Inside the NBA to be dazzled with basketball expertise, you're going to get very, very little of that, okay? I tune in to be completely entertained, and I am thoroughly entertained every single week. Ernie Johnson's the best studio host in all of sports. So... you know, everybody that's fearing, like, oh my God, this thing is going away. It's not going away, people. Things that make a ton of money do not go away. Charles Barkley will probably start his own production company, create the the Inside the NBA brand on his own. Or who knows? Maybe they call it a new name if they have to. And they will sell it to a network. And guess what? They will make double or triple the money that they were making before. So Inside the NBA is going nowhere, okay? Unless those people want it to go somewhere. And why would they? It's a huge hit. Everybody's making money. And come on, man. You're sitting there talking basketball all year. Who cares? You know? And you make a ton of money from it. You know? So those guys are still going to be around for a few more years. I wouldn't worry in the least bit. If not, who knows? Maybe NBC is going to get on the phone, you know, with them. The only drawback would be if those guys have a Turner contract and not a contract to cover basketball. Because if they have a Turner contract, which is likely what they have, you know, they can be tied to it. But you can easily sue your way out of it. Now, can they force them to do a no-compete that keeps them off the air for a year? That's a possibility. But why would you want to do that? You know? Better yet, I think that they have pretty smart people. I'm certain that their contracts run concurrently with their agreements with the NBA. So I'm guessing that it expires. Remember, they still have one more season. They will do one more season of Inside the NBA next year. And then it's gone, technically, from TNT. What's the thing you're most excited about and worried about this season? Most excited about is the talent on the pass catchers. Like, this offense could actually be better than what they were last year. And last year, you saw what they were. Number two in scoring, number one in total offense. I think that they could be better this year, meaning a lot of those teams, they could drop some numbers on some of those teams that everybody keeps saying, oh my God, you didn't beat them. Your offense didn't look good against them. Well, it's probably going to look pretty damn good against those teams this year. What am I most worried about? Obviously, it's the offensive line. It's always the offensive line. Who's the player you have concerns with fitting into the new defensive scheme? That's a great question. Huh. You know, Tyrese Tart, you know, if they're going to play a lot of light boxes, Chris Kaufman brought up a great point on Tyrese Tart. If you're going to play light boxes, Tyrese Tart better run sideline to sideline, because if not, he's going to be hurting your pursuit on defense. Next question. If you can only go to one Dolphins regular season game this season and tickets and travel were free, which one? I would say Lambeau Field for the Packers game, but Omar Kelly says that Lambeau's an absolute dump, and why the hell would you want to go there? Right? So it's always, you know, the answer is always LA. You know, if they're not playing the Raiders in Las Vegas, which they're not, you know, the answer is always LA. And they're playing the Rams in LA on a Monday night game. So why not? Like, that sounds like a fun trip. Who knows? I might even do that trip. Next question, and we're going to take one more after this. Multiple reports saying Achan more involved in the passing game. Did you see anything you like? Well, first of all, I didn't see anything, and nobody else did either. This is outstanding news. I feel like passes to Devon Achan could be kryptonite to dropping linebackers trying to stop Tyreek and Waddle. Yeah, I covered this earlier when I spoke to Dundee. So many interchangeable parts is going to help the passing game, you know? So remember, he could play outside. He could play everywhere. They're going to have a lot of running backs active. You know, a lot of bodies to throw at teams. So, yeah, he's going to help immensely. He has to stay healthy, though. All right, last question. You're given a choice. Dolphins win the Super Bowl, but you can never see or listen to it. Would you say yes? No. Well, I got to see it. I want to see it. And, by the way, I don't have to make that choice because they're going to win a Super Bowl during Tua's career here, which hopefully will be a very long time. He will win a Super Bowl, if not two, and maybe even three. All right, with that, I leave you. We will do this again next week. Of course, the offseason with Marek Brave is every single Friday. You will listen to that also on OnlyFans. But till then.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.